You have a copy of the scriptures this morning. I invite you to turn to Psalm 119. We're going to start there. If you came in late and didn't hear the announcement about the boxes, you can bring them back either right after the service. You can go get them and bring them. There'll be people here you could bring them probably till 12:30 or so. And then if not, if you can bring them back this afternoon, starting at about 5 till 7-ish. So you could bring them back then. But I encourage you to please, if you have the boxes, go ahead and bring them so we can get them sent out tomorrow. We're going to send them out to be delivered. We're going to pray over them at the end of the service and ask God to use them more than just the stuff that's in them. Starting today, we're going to take a break from John, if you couldn't tell, because I had you open up to Psalm. Some of you are smart like that. You already figured that out. And we're going to take a break until after the first of the year, because with Thanksgiving and Christmas and different things that are going on, the next section of John I want to focus on and give our full attention to. It's a very powerful part of the book of John. Last week we sang the chorus during our service, "Open My Eyes, Lord," and it got me thinking. And this week and next week I want to talk about prayer, about praying with our eyes open. Praying with our eyes open, or seeing the world with our eyes open, is something we've been talking about on Sunday nights and Training for Impact, as we've been looking around and looking for God in our world. And we've been trying to say, okay, where is God at work? Let's recognize it. And then once we recognize where he's at work in our world, wherever we go, what does he want me to do? Where does he want me to be involved in people's lives and be ministering for him? And so it's all about keeping our eyes open. And so for the next 2 weeks, I just want to talk about how do we pray with our eyes open. That's what the psalmist did here in Psalm 119. At verse 18, he said, "Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law." By the law, he means what we call the Bible, the scriptures, the Word of God. And so his prayer was that God would open his eyes. And we're going to see why it's important to pray with our eyes open. Praying, as children learn to pray, we teach them, okay, we're going to pray, put your hands together, bow your heads, close your eyes, and we're going to pray to God. And I don't remember praying much in my house as a child, but I remember being taught that. And I remember at some point praying before I went to bed, being told to recite this prayer: "Now that I lay me down to sleep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." How many of you prayed that prayer as a child? All right, several. That's horrifying. I mean, the last thought before you go to sleep is that you might not wake up again, and you're asking God to take care of you. I mean, as a kid, it was like, okay, Mom, I know I went to the doctor and he said that the shot he gave me was just for to fight off an infection, but is this more serious than you told me? Imagine that. We're told to close our eyes. We're told to block out everything around us, to focus on nothing else around us, to let nothing disturb us, and keep all the distractions away. And I think that for most of us, prayer goes downhill from there. I think as we get older, things don't get any better. We bow our heads, we close our eyes, and we don't know what to say to God, because everything's out of our minds. I think this is why we don't have more people who come out for prayer on Wednesday nights. It's just because we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. I mean, as we get older, we go to church and we hear somebody that has a long, flowery prayer that, you know, and we say, I could never pray like that. I can't match that. When we're alone, we feel ashamed because we don't know how to pray because we're not good enough maybe to talk to God that way. And so we just kind of mutter by occasionally. But Jesus said that your prayers are not to be like the flowery ones of the religious leaders when he taught his disciples to pray. He said, don't pray that way. And I'm convinced that even as we do try to pray, much of our prayer really doesn't have much to do with God. When we do ask him for things, it's more about me instead of God. So today I hope to change that. Today I want to give you permission to pray with your eyes open. When you go home, start praying with your eyes open. We're going to practice today. Praying with your eyes open. I know for some of you it's going to be hard. But I want to talk to you and show you why it's important to pray with your eyes open. So I'm going to go through, in the next 2 weeks, five aspects or benefits of praying with your eyes open. And the first one is, I will open my eyes and see God. If I can convince you this one, that ought to be enough. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10, John is writing. He says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation of the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. So what was John doing when he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day? He was worshiping God. This is how Jesus taught us that we must worship. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now you might say, well, I thought we were talking about prayer. Well, what has that got to do with worship? They're both connected. They're both the same thing. If you don't understand worship, you will not understand prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. That's all prayer is. So if you've ever been intimidated about praying and not knowing what to say, just break it down to that. You're praying, you're talking to God. Worship is communicating with God through a variety of different ways. Through song, through prayer, through listening, through obedience, through service. We're worshiping God. In both, we're connecting with God. If you go to church, you're in essence keeping your eyes closed to seeing God. If you go to worship, your eyes will be opened. There's a difference in those two of how we approach it. The Roman leadership thought that they had gotten rid of John. They had thought that they had, when they sent him to this island, that he would be isolated from everyone. Well, he was not alone on this day because he was worshiping God with his eyes open. And let's continue to see what he said about what happened that day. In verse 19, he said, write what you see. This is the Lord speaking to him. Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And I turned, and turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this." John saw, he heard, and he turned to see what the voice was behind him. When he turned and saw, he saw Jesus, this vision of Jesus, and Jesus was telling him, write down what you have seen. His eyes were wide open so he could see God. We sing, "Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus," to reach out and touch him and say that I love him. We sing that, "Open my eyes, Lord." The psalmist wrote, "Open my eyes." We can pray with our eyes open. What happens when I see God when I pray? Well, I see who I'm worshiping. I see him as John saw him. I imagine who he is. I can see him in all his splendor. And when I see God in his splendor, my prayer changes. I see who I'm praying to. When my eyes are closed and everything is gone and it's all black in here, I don't know really what I'm saying. Just saying what I've been taught to say. Just saying what I heard other people say. Opening my eyes will mean that I'm willing to see God as I've never seen him before. That's what happened to John on this day. Keeping my eyes closed means that I pray and I think of God according to certain definitions and certain descriptions that I have in my mind to look at. And I'm limited to that. The difference is like someone who experiences someone through seeing a picture of them or through spending a day with that person. Many of you are grandparents, and you have photo albums at home of family members, and you sit down with your kids or your grandkids, and you say, "Look at this picture. This is Aunt so-and-so, or this is Uncle so-and-so, or this is Grandma so-and-so, and I knew them when I was your age," and you tell stories, but you know by them looking at that picture, you're relating stories. They're not experiencing that person like you did when you spent the day with them, when you ate the cookies they cooked, when you went out into the fields with them, when you went on a vacation with them. Open our eyes and see God, not through a picture, not through what somebody else says, but as I see him real, you'll see him in a whole new way. It all starts here. When I see God as he is, I will come away knowing that I am loved and I'm secure. It's going to help me then to live my life honestly as I open my eyes to see him in prayer. Not only that, but number two, when I open my eyes, I will open my eyes and I'll see myself. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus told a story of two men who were in the temple. It's in chapter 18, beginning at verse 10. It said, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes on all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, will not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. If you look at those two prayers, one man, the righteous, religious man, prayed a long prayer, 32 words. The other man, 7 words. 32 words, and 5 of them were I. They were long, but they were focused on himself. See, the tax collector saw his true self toward God. This is what happens when we go to God and pray. David, after his King David, after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, he continued to worship God. He went through the motions of prayer until Nathan showed up, the prophet, and revealed that his sin was not secret. And when he realized that, he then wrote Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, which are psalms of confession, of him going before God and saying, God, this is me. This is who I am. God, I need your forgiveness because this is really who I am. That's what happens when we go and pray with open eyes. We'll see ourselves as we really are. And it's much easier to see ourselves if at first we have our eyes open and we see God as he really is. When I pray with my eyes closed, I'll never see myself as I really am. It's a prayer like mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? It's that kind of prayer. It's the prayer that says, God in heaven up above, who's the fairest of them all? And we want the answer. We want one answer. It's me. It's all about me. I go before God and like this righteous man, I pray about myself. I pray about how good I've been. I tell God what I am. I tell God what I need from my perspective because I don't really see myself. I will pray instead when I see myself in such a way that tells God that I am thankful for all that he has done for him, for me. People with eyes open in prayer pray honestly, because they realize that God sees them as David finally did. They talk to God about every struggle they're having. They know God sees it. Nothing is hidden. So they go to God and say, God, this is where I failed you this week. God, this is where I failed you today. God, I want to have my eyes open and I want to see myself as you see me. When I was new to church, about 19 years old, I had been going to church for just a little bit of time, but I just started going to church. I was still living kind of a wild life, and one Sunday morning I was in a Bible study class with a hangover because I got in about 3 o'clock the night before and got a couple hours sleep and just got up and went to church. And I was sitting there, and it was like God said, look at yourself. Who are you trying to kid? You got to make a choice. You either got to have your life like you had it last night, or you're going to have it like you want it with me. You got to make a choice. And that was such a blessing to me. I was still had a headache. I felt terrible. But all of a sudden, I realized God saw me as I really was. My eyes were opened, and he didn't reject me, but he gave the choice to me. And that day I made the choice. Okay, God, it's with you. And I'm not going to follow that anymore. and my eyes were opened. And from that day, I was realized that I can be honest with God. When I pray properly, I examine myself to see where I've gone off course. And I let God show me those things because it brings healing. It brings refreshing. It restores me to the way I need to be. I look for wrongs toward others, toward my wife, toward kids, toward other people, my friends. And when I see them, they're taken away with three powerful words. I am sorry. Toward God, I'm sorry. Toward the people I've offended, as He reveals that to me, I am sorry. And it restores that relationship to where we all really want it to be. That's what happens when we pray with our eyes open, how we see ourselves. But also, thirdly, when I pray with my eyes open, I'll see my opportunities. We're going to look at the story of two different storms, real storms, not spiritual storms, real storms. The first one's in Mark chapter 4, verse 36. It says, "And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was." And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Now this he is Jesus. And when they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So his disciples, they're crossing a lake. Common means of transportation is a boat. Many of them were fishermen. They spent hours in boats. Storms were common, but they were terrified of this storm. Now look at the Apostle Paul when he's being transported as a prisoner on a ship. Acts 27, beginning of verse 20. It said, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days," because that's how much of a storm there was, "and no small tempest lay on us, all hope for our being saved was at last abandoned." So this wasn't a little boat on a lake and a storm blew up. This was a ship in the midst of a gigantic storm, winter storm that was coming. And since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and have not set sail for Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island.'" I love that last part. And we're going to lose the ship. We're going to crash on some island here. I don't know where we are, but we're going to live because an angel told me that. What do these two stories have in common? A storm. A literal storm. In the first, his disciples were literally with Jesus in a boat. In the second, Paul is maybe the only believer on the ship, and he is in prison. He's a prisoner. He has no power, no authority on this ship. He is probably shackled. Two completely different scenarios, but one, somebody takes charge and they see it completely different. I mean, imagine the disciples thinking that, Jesus, wake up, we're going to drown. What are you doing asleep? I mean, the headlines in the Jerusalem Press, Son of God drowns in boating accident. That's ridiculous. Now, Paul dying in a boating accident where they were, that was commonplace. That could have happened. They woke Jesus up, his disciples did, out of anger for not helping them, for giving them, you know, they're throwing water out of the boat, getting the buckets, trying to save the boat, to keep it afloat. And they're angry with Jesus. What are you doing asleep? They didn't wake him up to see it turned into a miracle. They were shocked by that because their eyes were closed to who they were with and what God had in store for them. In the second storm, Paul knew he was going to live. He didn't know how, but he'd seen God's messenger. He believed what God's purpose was for his life, what God's plan was for his life, and he knew that would be fulfilled. How? He wasn't 100% sure. He just knew he was going to get there. See, when you pray and you see God and you see yourself, ask him to show you how to turn your problems into victories. Ask him how to he's going to fulfill his potential for your life. How he's going to glorify himself through whatever it is you're going through. Pray with your eyes open. Take those things to him. When you pray instead of panicking and complaining about problems, thinking about what God has already done for you, ask him to show you your future, realizing that nothing can stop his plan for your life from coming about when you pray with your eyes open that way. Now, as I talk about this, this isn't anything that's very odd. It sounds a little odd because we're not supposed to pray with our eyes open. But look what Jesus said in John chapter 5. It says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he, what? Sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. I think Jesus prayed with his eyes open because he saw the Father. If Jesus had to keep his eyes open so that he saw the Father, who are we to think that we're going to keep them closed and survive? You know, kids, some kids never learn to close their eyes when they pray. You might have one of those kids. These are the kids that at dinner time, you ask them if they want to pray, and they say, God, thank you for the mashed potatoes. Thank you for the carrots. Thank you for mommy and daddy. Thank you for our dog Fufu. They go around the room, and they're looking around the room, looking for everything they can thank God for. They're praying for everything on the plate. Don't tell those kids to close their eyes. Tell them to keep them open. We were in Paris serving as missionaries. We had a family come from Houston to join us. And they came, and their daughter had never seen snow. And she said, Mommy, Daddy, I want it to snow. Well, you know, it doesn't really snow in Paris. There's other places that maybe you'll get to see snow, but it does. Well, we're just going to have to pray and ask God to send snow. That little girl started praying for snow. Guess what happened? It's the first time in decades that they got snow in Paris that year. Little child praying with her eyes open wants to see snow. So see God when you pray. See yourself. See your opportunities. So now, while you're looking at me, don't bow your heads, don't close your eyes. What's your next step? What does God want you to do? What change can come about in your life as a result of this message? You could write it down, because you got to keep your eyes open to write. That'd be okay. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. A day when we just see things differently. God, when we can learn just how easy it is to connect with you in a different way. Thank you for the examples through your word of real people just like us who you teach how to worship you, how to pray. And Lord, I pray that you would show us more of yourself, more of ourselves, and the great opportunities that you have for us. In Jesus' name.